We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Happy Friday morning, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. We are here discussing week five of the NFL. We're going to be talking about the main DFS slate, so the 12 games, eight early, four late. I am Scott Jensted, joined as always by Andrew Laird. We are sponsored by WinBet. I appreciate that. Andrew, if I could cue up, if we had the musical rights to One Last Time from Hamilton, I would play it right now. This is actually your last football podcast with me, with the company. You are taking a different opportunity. I will let you announce that a different time, but I will miss doing this with you. I know that people will miss hearing you on the air. It's been a lot of fun. So I will miss you. I know people listening will miss you. I know it's that your information we missed on the site. So congrats on whatever you're doing next. But I'm looking forward to doing this one more time.
No. Thank you very much. This podcast is easily like the highlight of my job. So like it's
wow. I like to hear that. That's a good thing. So it's,
yeah, but I mean, awesome. You have been kind of teasing this for a while. Our preseason one, obviously, Derek Van Riper and Vlad Sedler have gone on to some pretty significant things after podcasting with you for a little bit. I believe I outlasted both of them though.
You did. I think by about a year. But clearly. You come on this podcast with me, and you get good career opportunities to come out from it. So I imagine the applications to fill in for you are going to be streaming in by the busload. We'll have to like get a little PO box for it or something.
I was going to say you should just start your own recruiting service, yeah. And you're basically just placing people. You're like the new whatever the job search sites are now.
Could I have sounded older with a PO box? Like anybody mails anything in anymore? My God. People are like, what do you mean? What's a PO box? Why would you mail something in? But seriously, it's been a lot of fun. I look forward to it also. Obviously, this is early Friday morning for me. So like I would have to like it to do it. I have a regular job, so I'm not getting up this early on Friday to do this unless I enjoy doing it. And a big part of that is doing it with you. So it's been fun. Thanks for that. Making friends as an adult is a weird thing too. And I feel like that we're actually friends. That might not be a mutual feeling. I just might feel that myself. I don't know if you I don't know if you feel that too, but it doesn't matter to me. As long as I feel it, that's really what matters. But I appreciate that. I'm hoping you'll stay in touch, and we will still chat as well. Maybe not about football quite as much, but we will hopefully still chat. So I appreciate that, and let's jump into week five. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Beautiful. First of all, it's so funny. We talk about you got to stick with guys. Robert Woods last night in the Thursday night game. My God, I would have played him if it was on the main slate 1,000% until he did this. But I failed a couple times, but 12 catches last night was madly frustrating. But we will not be talking about a primetime game. That's the Rams. Seattle was last night, kind of a gross, weird game. Thursday night.
It was a weird one.
Thursday nights are brutal. Buffalo, Kansas City is the Sunday night game. That's an awesome game. We won't be talking about that one, but that's an awesome, just watch football game.
Yep.
Indy and Baltimore is Monday night. Kind of one of those games that looked good in a month and a half ago, and now it doesn't look so good. And the London game is off the slate. That's 6:30 in the morning on Sunday. I'm not going to get up at 6:30 to watch this game. It's the Jets and the Falcons, and I'm probably going to miss that one.
I mean, if there's ever a game to wake up early for, it's that one, though. Scott, please.
Can you imagine if you live in England, you're like, wow, we get an NFL game this weekend. I'm going to go to that game. And you look it up, you're like, yeah, not going to that game.
But next week's even worse, though, isn't it? Jags somebody.
There's always the Jags and somebody. They have back-to-back London games, huh?
Yeah, it's I don't know. I like the idea. Like the 9:30 start, 9:30 Eastern start is kind of nice. It obviously sometimes it actually moves.
It's horrible, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, see, I have years of like waking up to like soccer games coming on at that time.
Yeah,
and so like I like having early morning like professional sports. It's the complete opposite of how I felt when I was younger. When I was like, oh no, let's stay up late. I'll watch, you know, the West Coast 10 p.m. starts for the Yankees were always fun. Like I can't last that long anymore. So I'll happily take the 9:30 a.m.
Dolphins Jags is the
yeah. There you go.
God, that's brutal. There's so many Urban Meyer jokes that went through my head, and I'm just not going to use any of them. They're all too easy.
They shouldn't even let them in.
I'm not going to go with the low hanging fruit. It's just too easy. But mm-hmm. So we have 8 early games, 4 late games this week. It's not quite the high total fest that we had last week. Last week we had 5 games over 50. We have 3 games under 44 this week. We have 2 games under 40. We have not had an under 40 game all season so far. It's only week 5, but still, we have 2 of them this weekend.
And not the Jets.
You know, they're off the slate anyway, but yeah, not the Jets. We have 3 games that are over 50. Let's talk about those first. And not ones that really jump off the page like Buffalo and Kansas City does. I think that's like 54 or 54 and a half or something like that, but that's off the slate. Green Bay at Cincinnati, obviously the Aaron Rodgers bump there, that's 50 and a half. The Giants at Dallas, not what you think of as an offensive, as a 52, obviously a lot of that is Dallas and hoping that the Giants stick with them. And then the 49ers at Arizona is 50. So we have no big like 54, 55 games, but a few over 50. Do any of those 3 jump out to you as like, I want to stack this game? This is the one I want a lot of a piece of, because there's no like one game that fully jumps off this week.
Yeah, I'll actually add when I put my spreadsheets together here, did you say there was the San Francisco Cardinals is 50?
50, as it.
So I had that. Moved? I saw that at 49 and a half, which was actually the same as Detroit and Minnesota.
Okay.
Which is another one that I will definitely be talking about later, but no, like I don't want to.
Your last day on the show, you figure you're gonna start correcting me on everything now.
Just shows how like off my lines are. That's all.
There
but
you go.
No, I feel like just looking at those teams that people will like want to play the Cowboys because they're, you know, we've been playing them anyway, but you have to imagine that the Packers will get plenty of attention because Aaron Rodgers is always, you know, if you have an opportunity to play Aaron Rodgers where you don't necessarily have to play him over like some absolute studs. And I mean, there are some good guys on the slate, but like, I feel like people tend to take that, certainly with Davante Adams, everybody talking about this, like progression, not positive regression.
There you go.
But the Davante Adams lack of like goal line targets. And they were like, oh, it'll correct, while we're like ignoring the fact that he's been like overperforming that for his entire career.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's funny. When I first started looking at it, I'm like, ooh, maybe I could go with a sneaky Aaron Rodgers stack with, you know, nobody's playing him. And I'm like, as I looked at more quarterbacks and more lines, I'm like, yeah, that's not really going to be very
not so sneaky, yeah.
I was like, oh, you get Rodgers and Adams, you come back with either Higgins or Jamar Chase. I'm like, that works really well. And then I realized that that's not going to be unpopular in any way. No. But low totals this week, we have the Saints at the Washington football team. It only took, 2 years of me getting that right. 43 and a half there. And then we have the 2 games I teased under 40. I know this is big information for people. It's very exciting. Denver at Pittsburgh, 39 and a half. Never thought we'd see Steelers under 40, but here we are. And then New England at Houston, a truly horrible matchup. 39 and a half also. Obviously, Houston's offense is really, really rough there with my Stanford quarterback, Davis Mills, at the helm and not looking especially NFL ready. It's been rough. Of all the rookie quarterbacks you thought would get starts early, Davis Mills was not high on that list. No. And it's looked as bad as you kind of feared. But 2 games under 40. We don't get that in the modern NFL all that much. But here we are. It's ugly.
They're also very different games. Like Denver is +1 at home, I think.
That sounds about right. I think that's what I saw too.
I know it's Denver +1, but New England's -8.5 is what the line that I saw. So like they're the low total games, but if you look at team implied totals, the favorites are very different. Like I usually sort everything that I do by team implied totals. And you'll see like New England very far away from Pittsburgh, even though they're both in games with totals that are very low.
Crazy enough, that game is actually at Pittsburgh.
It is at Pittsburgh, right? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Pittsburgh is a home underdog.
No, they're favorite. I have them at Pittsburgh -1 here.
But even a close one against someone that's not like Kansas City or Buffalo or Dallas or something like that. Just it's weird to see Denver in there. As
a agreed.
Spread. But yeah, it's funny. We talk about the NFL changing so much. It's amazing how many teams look fully different than they did just a month ago. Like, we're only in week five, and there are teams that were just totally different than we thought. I mean, you look at Washington. We're like, Washington's defense is going to be dominant, but they're not going to be able to score, all that kind of stuff. Washington's defense has been horrible so far. It's really strange how it's just in the NFL. Like, we talk about in season-long fantasy, people are like, focus on team defense stuff. I'm like, you got a month from now, that team defense might look fully different. Like, you've got to be willing to adjust. And that's why people don't reach early on defense, because they were the top defense taken, and it's been rough.
Yeah. You can say the same thing about Tampa Bay. Like, yeah. Their defense, it's the offense that's getting them through. And yeah. I think that was kind of the expectation. I feel like this year's Tampa, or at least what we've seen so far, is what we were expecting them to be all of last year.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point there. So let's jump into some kind of who we think are going to be the popular guys, who we think will be, quote unquote, the optimal cash lineups. When I started with that, looked at quarterback, and I went right to Kyler Murray when I was looking at that. We talked about Allen and Mahomes are off the slate. He's 8,000. The 49ers have a beat up secondary. They struggle with running quarterbacks. Kyler threw for 270 yards last week, 268. That was his lowest yet. So he's been really, really good. We talked about last week. He was a multiple quarterback 1 week. Still had two touchdowns last week. The 49ers have struggled kind of corralling Murray in the past as it was. I think that he's going to be the first quarterback that people go to this week.
Yeah. I mean, you laid it out. There are like tons of reasons to play him. I believe they have the fourth highest total, implied total, the Cardinals do. And so, I mean, he's just been awesome. People use the whole like matchup proof or whatever, although the matchup itself isn't even that dangerous, no offense, but
none taken. We do not deserve the mantle of scaring people on defense right now.
I think the only reason that people will hesitate with Murray is because they have to pay so much for Derrick Henry. But if there was, I mean, I feel like every week there's this long, like, this is why you should play Derrick Henry. And it's like, you could just say like, he's the best running back in football and make,
or he's going to get 57 touches or whatever.
Right. Like,
it happens. It's crazy.
If you ever have to read more than like one sentence of why you should play Derrick Henry, like, then people are just using, they get paid by the word. Like, the interesting conversations about Derrick Henry is when you shouldn't play him. And for cash games, there's just no reason not to play him this week.
Yeah, so I mean, that, since you mentioned him, Henry was the next guy I had in here as the popular one. He's 9,000 on DraftKings. He has 127 touches through four games. That's the fourth most ever. And the NFL used to like hand the ball to guys over and over and over. Most since 2003, I think I saw. He has 30 or more touches in three straight games, 41, 31, and 35. He's five receptions away from his career high, which is pretty crazy.
That's
in week
wild.
Five. I mean, great matchup. They're at Jacksonville. They're decent sized favorite. I think they're about like 7-8 point favorites. Good game script. And, he's one of those guys that game script does matter, because when they take the lead, they feed the heck out of him.
Yeah.
They don't go away from him if they're down. If it's a close game, it's hard to see Jacksonville blowing them out. Maybe get a close game. Still, they're going to be feeding him the ball. I think that among running backs at 9,000, I think the point is good on Kyler, because it's hard to go both of them. But I think running back, just people are going to be clicking Derrick Henry, just figure out what to do with the second one as kind of their next task.
I think that's exactly what it is. Click Henry and just go from there. And I think the go from there will end up people having to go away from Murray, just because, you just get stretched pretty thin. But I mean, that's not to say people won't play both of them. Like, it's not like Murray is going to be not popular in cash games. So
I want to come back to the other like kind of popular running backs in a second, but while we're here and talking about Murray and the money there, elephant in the room, Trey Lance is 5,700. Trey Lance did not, I'm a 49ers fan, so I'm going to say, I can say this unbiased. Trey Lance did not look good last week, but had 20 points in a half. Like, it's just one of those things. The floor is there because of the rushing yards. I mean, he was throwing rockets. I mean, the dude has a freaking cannon, by the way. Like, he threw a pass to Debo that was like 10 yards, and Debo went up and just caught the end of the ball because it was coming. So it was a great catch. And like, my
great
God,
catch,
how strong are your hands? It's like insane. But like, he throws the ball hard. The touch is not quite there. It's not, maybe he looked more raw than looked bad. I guess probably maybe a better word for it, but he was throwing behind guys and he came in at halftime. Garoppolo had the calf injury. Garoppolo is apparently going to try and practice today. And Shanahan was like, well, if he can look like he can push off, we can maybe. And I'm like, dude, if you don't know if he can push off on Friday, like, and it's not like we're talking about Aaron Rodgers and a rocket arm as it is. Like, I can't imagine Garoppolo's going to play. But let's say Garoppolo's ruled out. Do you go with Trey Lance to the cash lineup at 5,700? Is that only a GPP play for you? Like, where do you go with this, like, raw, huge upside guy at a very low price this week?
I think the fact that he can score in multiple ways, like, you know, he's basically the modern quarterback. Like, I think absolutely at that price, people will play him. And I think he's worth playing. Like, absolutely.
And has three, I'm not going to call them elite weapons, but three really good weapons. Debo and Kittle for sure. I mean, who knows with Ayuk, but obviously super talented. Has been a weird, obviously, first month of the season. But it's not like a quarterback who's has this weird flow. Like, even looking like Jalen Hurts, you're like, well, you know, how are his weapons? And you're like, well, Trey Lance has weapons. He hit Debo with a lot. It was obviously a blown coverage last week, but a 70-yard touchdown to Debo last week. But he's got Kittle. He's got Debo. He's got a really good offensive mind running the offense in Kyle Shanahan, who I imagine after a week of practice will be more prepared than, say, Matt Nagy was with Justin Fields, that sort of thing. I don't know, 5,700, I agree with you. I think you play him, and I think a lot of people are going to, because they're the way this slate works, like, you either go cheap there or you go cheap at running back, which we're going to talk about. There are a couple options this week, but you can go Lance and you can really stack up a lot of guys. And I don't think you have to stack Lance if you don't want to. You can go Lance naked if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's funny that you compare him to Fields, because you brought this up last week or another, you know, one of our previous ones, that basically
one of our years and years of podcasts together
that Nagy was just seemed completely unprepared for Fields.
Yeah.
And the 49ers have obviously been using Lance in some situations, but it is kind of weird. The whole, like, if Garoppolo can plant Friday, then like maybe he'll play, because like your game plan is just very different.
Yeah,
depending on who your quarterback is in that situation.
They have a bye next week. I just can't imagine they're going to put Garoppolo out there. Like, if they want Jimmy to come back and play, like, the smart thing to do is let him sit a week and then let him sit the bye week and then come back healthy. But it's funny, when Lance came in at halftime, you're like, I wonder what this is going to look like. And it looked like they had packages set up for Trey Lance. They ran a lot of run play option, like a lot of, he was running the ball a lot. Like, it clearly was not, you clearly did not have an offensive scheme built for it, but you had plays that, like, when Trey comes in, here's the plays we're going to run. Whereas with Fields, I was like, it looks like he's running Andy Dalton's offense, which made no sense. Like, if they had Lance run Garoppolo's offense, it just make no sense, because they're completely different people. But
yeah,
it's going to be fun. Like, I have no idea what to expect. Like, they could hang with Arizona in this game. They could get killed. Like, I have no idea what I'm walking into this week. But I think there'll be a lot of Trey Lance rosters on this week.
Yeah, I think Lance is interesting, but the big reason not to play him is because you can play Trevor Lawrence for $100 more. And at least on DraftKings.
Are you being serious or are you kidding?
I'm being serious. Like, the Titans have been
the Titans is bad.
Like, really bad. I mean, Zach Wilson just lit them up. And so Lawrence had looked better. You know, he's got weapons that you can pair with him. Maybe it's more of a GPP play. But, like, I wouldn't be surprised if people started playing Lawrence in cash, particularly because, he started running the ball a little bit more. Was it 8 carries for 36 yards last week?
Yeah.
He had 6 for 27 the week before.
And a touchdown, yeah.
And a touchdown, yeah. So, like, I think the only reason why Lance won't be super popular is because I think people might just be more comfortable with Lawrence.
Yeah,
that's a $5,800 quarterback.
That's a really good point. I tend to think that more people will go Lance just because it feels a little sexier and more fun, but you're right. If you wanted to pivot away and stay in the same price point and kind of not touch the rest of your roster too much, like, I think Lawrence is a really interesting play and probably one that you'll get at a decent size of the lower percentage roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has like a decent floor, but like, so like theoretically he should be more popular in tournaments than cash games, but I think he's playable in both.
Yeah, that's a good one. I do like that. That matchup is. I'm looking at Tennessee. I mean, Zach Wilson had 297 and 2 touchdowns last week, and then Kyler went crazy on him in week 1. Russell Wilson had 343 and 2 in week 2. So yeah, they've given up a lot of points to quarterbacks. That's a good one. I do like that. Let's jump back to running backs. We might be popular. I'm going to give you some credit. Last week, you really, really liked Ezekiel Elliott. He had a huge game. I ended up playing him on my main rosters. That worked out well. I mean, he had 20 carries, 143 yards, and a touchdown. Good game should begin this week. They're decently, I think they're like 6.5, 7-point favorites against the Giants. The Giants are allowing 4.7 yards per carry, so clearly you can run on them a little bit. Zeke is 7,000, so a little bit more than last week, but still, you know, we're talking 2,000 away from Henry, a little bit cheaper than some other guys. Where are you on the going to Zeke back-to-back weeks?
I think it's fine. Like, I don't know if he necessarily is like required for cash games, but although he does seem like an appropriate play if you're not going to play Henry, but
he's the one that jumped out. He's the one that jumped out to me like in the mid range is like all right, this seems like a pretty solid and safe play.
Yeah, I feel like we just got used last year to seeing him in like the top 3 to 5 salary range, and then he justifiably got lowered. But like, he, based on last week and the matchup this week, like, he should be, you know, 8,300, and he's not. And so, and take advantage of
him. Between him and Henry, I can kind of poke holes in everybody else too. So I think that as people scroll That's down, fair. They're like, I mean, Alvin Kamara is an immense talent, but, you know, had 0 targets last week. He's 8,600. I can see a lot of people being like, why am I going to pay 8,600 for Kamara? I just paid 7,000 for Zeke, and he's going to be super involved in a high scoring, really good offense in a game that they're favored in, should feed him down the stretch. I just think a lot of people are just going to, as I said, like, scroll down. You get to quarter, whatever's at running back 9, and be like, oh, that makes sense. This is a perfect spot for him. Yeah.
I mean, it's as simple as like, that's the team with the highest implied total, and they're almost a touchdown favorite. Like, those are the running backs you go for.
And they're the world's most popular team. It all kind of lines up. But in terms of popularity, let's talk about a couple of cheap running backs. For the first time in a while, I think this is like week one when they had, you know, they put the salaries out 3 months early. So there were all kinds of values there. We have a couple guys that I think are getting a lot of attention at the running back position. The first is Damian Williams in Chicago. David Montgomery is out 3 to 5 weeks. So he's the starting running back. They are playing Las Vegas, who is allowed 4.6 yards per carry. He's 5,600 on DraftKings. He was 855 and a touchdown last week. So, like, when he came in, he looked good. This is a guy that sat out last year due to he did a COVID kind of holdout. But, you know, right after, should have won the MVP in the Super Bowl. I choose to forget that game as much as I can, but he deserved to win. He deserved to win the MVP in that Super Bowl over Mahomes. He had 2 catches last week. He's playing with Justin Fields, which should be really good for, you know, linebackers got to follow Fields, opening holes. You want to get that running back, you know, Lamar Jackson kind of situation. Are you going to play Damian Williams? Do you think he'll be super popular at 5,600? He's not priced at like 4,000 like the last game we're talking about is, but priced low enough, I think a lot of people are going to gravitate towards Damian.
I think he makes some sense. I think if you're in this range and you go past Leonard Fournette, or you scroll to Leonard Fournette, who's even cheaper, and you convince yourself, like, I think you have to convince yourself that Fournette is a bad play when he's probably just a good play and you should just play him.
I always have so much trouble getting there with Fournette. I know he had 20 carries last week, 92 yards, looked really good. I just scroll back a week and I see 4 carries. I never trust Tampa Bay with how they're going to use guys. And you can see games where Brady's like, oh, I'm just throwing it every time. But situation obviously works out well. They're playing home against Miami. You got to think they have a lead there. Miami with Jacoby Brissett just does not look dynamic on offense. It's hard to think that they can hang with Tampa Bay scoring. Tampa Bay was frustrated last week against New England. Like, they just played that defense. I just wonder what, if Brian Flores, who's a Belichick disciple, plays the same kind of defense Belichick did last week, just kind of like, we're going to lay back, let you run. If they do, then, you know, kind of like what we talked about, we talked about with Kansas City a couple times. Like, if teams are going to do that, then suddenly the running back makes sense because, you know, you have Brady, you have Mahomes, who are smart enough to, like, you're going to give me 6 yards of carry, I'm just going to take it. And then you wonder if they get if Flores plays the same defense as Belichick, which I assume he does because it worked. They scored 19 points last week. You got to think that Fournette's pretty heavily involved too.
That's the hope. Like, I feel like if you have 2 cheap running backs like this where you're not like totally comfortable with either.
Yeah.
I would rather the guy on the team that's a big favorite that should score points. And I don't necessarily want to buy into the Bears backfield without David Montgomery. Yeah. That's not David Montgomery, and with a quarterback that I'm not sure they know how to use.
The second part of that is very true. my only pushback on the first part is because I think Damian Williams is really good. So I don't think we're walking into like a, I think this is the next guy up kind of situation.
We do a lot.
And the last thing I want to talk about is exactly that. It's like, oh, well, he's next up. But
yeah,
I just think Damian Williams is really good. I like Damian Williams. We played him a lot in 2019, the second half. He kind of struggled the first half and then really came on in the second half. But my last guy, since we're going to do it that way, at 4,000 in Cincinnati, Joe Mixon is very, very likely not to play. I don't think they've actually ruled him out. They might have changed just this morning. I looked at news about 10 minutes ago. I haven't looked since. But Samaje Perine is 4,000 for Cincinnati. 4,000 is bottom of the barrel running back. He's splitting with Captain America, Chris Evans, who I've dubbed Captain America from now on. It's his nickname always. 13 carries for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns in week 16 last year for Perine when he got a chance to play without Mixon. He had 64 carries in 2020. It's 4.8 yards a carry. So he was effective, although I do get that is, you know, he probably comes in spots where it's, you know, 3rd and 12 and gets a draw. So I do understand that, you know, some of that when you have 64 carries is pretty skewed by a couple of big carries. But Perine is, I think he went to Oklahoma, a guy that has, you know, kind of been hurt on and off, but some talent there. Do you play this at 4,000? You're usually better with these kind of, I don't want to call it a free square because I don't think he's quite that obvious, but a lot of people are going to look at it, see 4,000, a starting running back, and kind of jump there. How do you feel about him against the Packers this week?
I'm not like dying to play him. Like I probably, like Mixon wasn't a thought at all for me. And so, but like 4,000, like value wise, yeah, it's there. I wonder if they're going to just have, this is going to be one of those games where Burrow throws 55 times though. And I don't know if I need a part of the Bengals backfield. Like I feel like if I can get Fournette, the 1,200 to Fournette is, like, I'm much more comfortable with that, as nuts as that sounds.
No, like, I think it matters that there's two running backs who are in the 5,000s who are playable this week. If there was, like, nobody up until, like, 6,200, like, then P. Ryan's rostership would be way higher because everybody looking for cheap running back would just go automatically there. Now you have choices.
Yeah, no, I think that's the right way. And if you're looking at, you know, if it's, like, P. Ryan and Kyler versus Fournette and Kirk Cousins, then maybe that sways you one way or the other. Like, it's not a strict 1v1, but it just feels a little too risky for me. That's all.
How many, if you knew ahead of time, how many touches would you need Samaje Perine to have to be like, oh yeah, I'm playing that. Like say you knew beforehand that he's going to get 13 touches. Is that enough for you to be like, oh, I'm playing him in for sure. What's that number?
Yeah.
For me, it's about 13, I think.
Yeah. My fear is that it's just not enough. It's just not enough points. Like if he might like pay off value wise, but I'm just not sure I'm getting enough actual fantasy points from him. And so like, it's actually more opportunity cost than it is salary cost.
And they did say he's splitting carries with Captain America. That worries me a little bit. When you get the coach actually says that, you know, they're going to kind of maybe switch off series, but 4,000, it's definitely in the mix.
Yeah. He's certainly in the picture.
Yeah. Let's talk about some popular receivers, but first a note from our exclusive sponsor of WinBet. There's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire. It's making good decisions and even more so making the right decision. Listen up. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more all at your fingertips. Do you want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, all while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WynnBet. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcasts. So wide receiver-wise, the first guy, we already kind of spoiled this already, but I think the first guy to go to is Davante Adams this week, 8,200. I've heard a lot of people talking about the touchdown regression, the one-yard stuff. You know, I think Aaron Jones had 3 catches for touchdowns 2 weeks ago. Like at the plays where you're like, oh, here comes the Davante little outplay that they run every freaking time. You can't stop it. They ran it once against the Niners, and then they didn't later. I'm like, why don't you just run it again? You can't stop it. But the Packers are in a high total game. We talked about, I think it was 50.5, but with a close game too. I think the Packers are favored by a couple on the road at Cincinnati. Davante has 29 targets the last 2 weeks, 18 and 11. Since he hasn't allowed a 100-yard receiver yet, I've seen that stat a couple times, but LaVisca Chenault had 99 last week. Adam Thielen had 92 the week before, in week one, I think it was, with a couple of touchdowns. So like that's a little skewed, like you're just using 100 as a round number. But Adams going to be popular. Do you think you start your team with some Adams? Where are you following him?
I definitely don't start my team with him, but like, sure, I would love to have him. I think if you're going between Adams and Henry, then it gets a little dicey. I'd probably play Henry. But yeah, I mean, Adams makes a ton of sense. There are a handful of like somewhat cheaper guy or cheaper.
Yeah.
Guys that I think you could target.
I have 2 guys right in this range that are a little bit cheaper that I think can be really popular too. So like it's a week where you can pretty easily save $500 to $700. I use those numbers on purpose from Adams to get somebody else. But I think that if people are playing an expensive running back, Adams can be very, very much in the mix this week.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's a bad play. It's just a matter of like where you have to sacrifice elsewhere. And if there's like a $3,000 wide receiver you love, then by all means go for it. But I don't have one this week.
I'm sure there is. I can find one. I can find a guy for 2 catches and 17 yards for you anytime.
Perfect. Perfect.
Last Sunday, I talked myself into Curtis Samuel. I was like, it's 3,000. Here he comes. He had 4 targets, but like, yeah. It was probably a little bit early. It wasn't fully healthy, but you know, 3,000 gets you a lot. He had, what, 5.9 points? It's not going to work. But
surely one day we'll get to a fantasy format that gives targets and air yards instead of receptions and receiving yards.
Yeah, the air yards fantasy league is coming at some point, right?
I'm shocked that it's not more of a thing, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Odell Beckham would have been a monster last week.
There you go.
I still can't believe Baker missed him on a couple of those plays. It's just...
Really? You can't believe that?
I guess. I mean, it was so open that yes, but now that I said it out loud, it sounds insane. But
right.
Like, you're just like, come on, dude. Speaking of, it's funny, air yards, Tyler Lockett last night, my God, he could have been a huge game. He had a touchdown call back. Wilson missed him on a, like, it was going to be like a 60 or 70 yard touchdown where he was wide open.
Today. Wide open.
Yeah. Russ does not miss those very often. But
mm-hmm.
The other two guys I was thinking of, my relative, my friend, dear to my heart, DJ Moore has finally become expensive and popular. 7,500 is, you know, I love DJ Moore forever. We talked about him a lot in this podcast. It's finally worked out for me. But I think he was 6,600 last week. So he jumped $900 this week. But just he's a monster right now with Sam Darnold. 24 targets the last 2 weeks, 16 catches, over 100 yards in each game. They are feeding him as they should have last year. Just they ran him the wrong kind of offense last week. Him and Robbie Anderson were used backwards last year. It was very strange. But double-digit targets 3 weeks in a row. Tyreek had 186 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Eagles last week. It all just kind of lines up for DJ Moore to stay popular this week.
Yeah, I think
I feel so proud. I feel like my son is like in the NFL. It's such a good moment for me.
I think the only kicker between or with DJ Moore, which also applies to, I assume Justin Jefferson is your other guy.
It is.
Is that they have cheaper teammates who maybe they don't match them, but like can get close enough. And they're like so much cheaper.
Yeah. The other thing with me, Jefferson 7,700, he was the other guy I was going to talk about that. I mean, obviously just they're playing Detroit. You know, will they shut it down early is kind of like the theory there. But the interesting thing with both of them, I think they're going to be both popular. People gravitate towards them. I wonder if right in between there, 7,600, I wonder if we get DeAndre Hopkins at coming off a rough stretch here. He was a little banged up, but man, do I like him in this matchup. I don't think the Niners can guard him. If you're going to play Kyler, you know, it's hard not to go Hopkins, although it gets really expensive. You can't play Henry probably if you do that, but I wonder if DeAndre sneaks through a little bit this week because there's three guys right around him that everybody's going to love.
I think you're going to get him lower than you should on any given week. Like I think that's a great call.
I love D Hop this week. I think it's going to be in a lot of lineups.
I think what's particularly good about him, more for tournaments, but like there just is all this talk that Kyler's spreading the ball around so much.
Yep.
And so people are like, well, then I'm not going to pay up for Hopkins because if I can just get, you know, a comparable number of targets or even, you know, if I can get 70% of the targets with, you know, Christian Kirk,
yep,
for a tenth of the price, or it's obviously not that drastic, but a quarter of the price, then I'll just do that. Like there are so many reasons not to play, or at least to like, you know, go to somebody else from Hopkins that, yeah, I think he's an awesome play this week in tournaments.
I just think that a lot of people are going to be like Murray and I want to play Henry, so I can't play Hopkins. So I'm just going to go to Kirk at 4,900.
Yes.
I think that's just an easy way to kind of convince yourself that you don't need Hopkins. And I think that makes him that somebody that I really want to play this week. And the Niners cannot guard him. I can promise you that. They just can't. They can't do it. Who knows if Kyler spreads it around? Who knows what happens there? But the Niners do not have anybody to cover DeAndre Hopkins this week.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that. But yeah, like the difference between Jefferson and Thielen and the difference between DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. Like Robbie Anderson, what was he, 5K?
You're not putting Robbie Anderson in the same range as my boy, right?
Well, DraftKings didn't.
We're not actually doing that. But yeah, I get it. I mean, it's just such a drop down to those two guys. But
you know what it feels like? It feels like the exact same thing that we kept saying over and over with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, that the difference in price was not justified. And I don't know if it's justified.
I agree with you more on Moore to Anderson because the price is so huge than I do on Jefferson to Thielen.
That's fair.
Is there only 1,000 different? I would find the money for Jefferson over that one. I know Thielen, like we talk about the touchdowns and we joke about him, but he has to score to work. Like he's not, his yards per catch are bad. Like he has not looked fantastic, but he could score twice. And there's always, he's a red zone guy. He's an end zone guy. They use him a lot there, but yeah, I think the Moore to Anderson thing is really interesting because it's 2,500 cheaper.
And it's not that Moore is overpriced. It's just like Anderson should be higher. That's all. Yeah.
And you got to figure at some point, they're going to figure out a way to get him in the offense there.
Yeah.
It's just, you talked about with Cup, and Woods. Like at some point, it's going to shift a little bit. It's just a matter of, as you say, going bankrupt before you you get that week where it's where it works out. But let's talk about some quarterback receiver stacks. I'm going to start with the Cowboys one. I think we're going to see CeeDee Lamb's interesting this week. He's 6,200. Yeah. Like this is a guy that everybody was taking the second round. After that first game, he moved up even more in drafts. The people that drafted after that first day. And he's been really quiet the last couple weeks. He's only 5 for 79 combined the last 2 weeks. Dallas has been running the ball a lot. They've had leads. They've spread it around a little bit. Dalton Schultz has like 92 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. It's
you liked him last week, didn't you?
I did. We talked about Dalton Schultz. That was, and it worked. It worked out really well. I love Dak and Lamb this week. I think that it's just a spot where a receiver has they've over adjusted his price. I think he's like, I'm eyeballing it, but like wide receiver 14 or 15 this week. Dallas hasn't had to throw a lot. It's an interesting thing. And they have two good running backs, which makes it even more likely that if they do get a lead, they kind of run it out. But Dak has under 30 attempts the last 3 weeks, but still has 7 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. But it just happened to be to Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz instead. I think Amari scored last week. It comes down to whether you think Daniel Jones and the Giants can do enough to turn this into a little bit of a shootout. Because I think if it's Dallas 21-10, then we see a lot of Zeke and a lot of Tony Pollard. But man, if it's the other way around, I really like Dak and Lamb this week. The Giants have – everybody's like, oh, the Giants haven't been that bad against quarterback. The Giants have faced Teddy Bridgewater, Taylor Heineke, Matt Ryan, and Jameis Winston. Like, welcome to the NFL this week because it's a whole other world this week.
Do you think that it's more likely that this game turns into a shootout or it's a slugfest?
I think it more likely turns into a shootout, honestly.
Okay.
I like this to go back and forth a little bit. I know that the Giants aren't quite dynamic, but I think the Giants are a little bit better than people think. And I think it just feels to me like a game. Like, I don't love Dallas's defense. I do. I like them fantasy-wise because they get sacks and turnovers, but they do give them some points. Carolina's points were kind of garbage time last week, but they did score a bunch. I love Dak and Lamb, and I actually love coming back with a cheap Kardarius Toney this week at 4,000 is my stack in this game. I know that you can go with Kenny Galladay, but he's 6,900. You dropped 3,000 to Toney, who was really involved last week. I think I'm going to scroll down because I'm in cheap receivers, but he had 9 targets last week, 6 for 78. I need Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton to be out to do it. I think that you have to check injury reports. It's one of those that the injury report like matters a lot for Toney. But man, he has 46 and 49 snaps last 2 weeks. He is dynamic. He was really elusive last week. He led the league in wide receiver like tackles eluded, I think was the stat that I saw. I love a Cowboys stack and coming back with cheap Toney and kind of use that money to go elsewhere rather than going with Kenny Galladay.
How do you justify Lamb over Cooper?
Gut feeling he's due. Nothing really more than that. I think that Cooper's been quiet too, so he's probably due. Right. Also,
they're both kind of due, aren't they? I guess Cooper had the touchdown last week, but
he did. And they're both the same price. They're $100 different. I'm a big CeeDee Lamb guy. I think it's kind of squeaky wheel receiver. I think that they're going to figure out ways to get. But you can't go 2 weeks with CeeDee Lamb catching maybe 5 catches. I just think they're going to make sure that they find a couple plays in the playbook to hit him this week.
If it's a shootout, shouldn't we just play both?
You could play both. That would be the other one. Is you could play the whole way. You can go both of them coming back with Toney or Galladay. But if I had to pick one, I'd pick Lamb. But I wouldn't argue hard whether I think they're both pretty even plays.
No, I think that's a great call. I got a combo that, speaking of, you can play both, that I think people are going to play, which I can't believe I'm like
putting
in the same breath as these Cowboys guys, but. Trevor Lawrence, Laviska Shenault, and Marvin Jones. What do we think?
It's funny you say that because Laviska is one of my cheap receivers that I have at the bottom here. He's 4,800. DJ Chark is out for the season. It was a quote this morning. They said they're going to get Shenault more involved. Like, give me all the coaches' quotes of feeding receivers. I know a lot of stuff is coach speak, but like in season coaches, like focusing on a receiver, I think it's pretty important. Like we saw it with Woods last night, like both McVay and Stafford's like, we got to get him the ball. And like the first 5 plays were like four passes to Robert Woods. Like, be more obvious, but it worked. But Shenault was 6 for 99, 7 targets last week. I know one of those is kind of a broken play where Lawrence ran out and just hooked it down the field and it worked. But
that's in the range of outcomes though.
It is for sure. And they've played 4 games. He has at least 7 targets in 3 of those 4. So I know he was a little bit quiet and he does run a lot of shorter routes, but in DraftKings full point PPR, 4,800. I think Shenault is very much in play this week, and a Marvin Jones is obviously always Marvin Jones, solid and you know, get you there. And that's a really cheap stack too. What do you come back with if you play that? Do you come back with? I guess if AJ Brown plays, you have the money to do it, and he's not very expensive this week. But it's a real risky injury wise. I have a cheap Tennessee receiver we'll talk about later, but I guess you don't even have to come back with somebody if you didn't want to.
Why isn't it just Derrick Henry?
I knew you were going to say that. That's a good point. So you got Henry gets them out to a lead, and then Lawrence throws the whole second half. Like, that could really be nice.
Yeah, I think, like, I legitimately think that's going to be one of the most popular moves. Is the only reason not to do it, like, somebody noted something that I read this week that, like, Henry was almost 30% in the Millie Maker last week on DraftKings, and there's, like, a decent chance that he's higher this week.
I think with the way the running backs work out this week, I think he's higher this week.
Yeah,
it's hard to get anywhere else.
And the problem is that Lawrence and Chenault just make for, like, it just makes way too much sense. Yeah. And so that's the only reason to not do it, is because it's going to be, I think it's going to be the most popular, you know, like, running back and run back are those two.
Interesting. I don't think enough people get to the Jacksonville passing stack, even though I really think it makes sense and your point really makes sense. I don't know how many people actually get there.
Okay.
You're right. No, you're right, though. It makes a lot of sense. I wonder how many people are clicking Trevor Lawrence and Marvin Jones. It could be, though. I mean, you got to save money somewhere. I think that Trey Lance being right there helps that Lawrence rostership not being too high, too. I think that $100, like, right in that same, when you look at the screen, it's the same picture. I think a lot of people will click on, the people that aren't stacking that will click Lance instead. But
do you think it's at least a ton of Henry Chenault?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's a ton of Henry Chenault. I don't think you're going to get a ton of, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see what and when you get a full slate like this, like, quarterback percentages are never that high anyway. True. I think that if you like that, I think I'd play it. It's an interesting one for sure. I'm going to have to, you're going to make me watch Jacksonville, Tennessee, aren't you?
Who do you run back the Rodgers Adams stack with?
Jamar Chase all day. I mean, you could play Higgins, you could play Tyler Boyd. I just think Jamar Chase is so dynamic, and he's only, what's he, 5,800 still? Like, he's not priced up where it's a concern. You can get him in pretty easily. He scored every week up until last week. Last week he had, what, 6 for 77 on 9 targets, didn't score. But with Higgins back, you know, that passing tree, kind of expands a little bit. But Jair Alexander for Green Bay might not play, which is, we don't talk about cornerbacks that much, but he's like one of the very, very elite. He might not play. I think he has an AC joint sprain, but yeah, I'm running that back with Chase, and that's a stack that I'm probably going to play.
Okay. I just feel like the way that the schedule broke down, that you could, there are, like, good run backs in every game.
Yeah, which is, like, fun, right? We like that.
Yeah, I think it also helps just spread out, you know, who everybody is playing. There's not, you know, we're not necessarily like Rodgers and Adams, like, will be popular, but, like, not that popular. Yeah. Cousins and Jefferson, like, again, there are plenty of guys, Dak and whoever you want to play from the Cowboys. Like, there are just so many options you can play. But yeah, I actually wonder if you start, like, because there are so many options to play, you don't have to, like, totally galaxy brain it. But, like, if everybody's playing Davante Adams and Rodgers, should I just play Joe Burrow, Chase, and Adam? Like, use the stacks that people are using, and those will be the run backs.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get that game that's going to be a little bit back and forth, I think the Green Bay Cincinnati might be. I mean, that's a close game and a high total game. That's one that should get a lot of attention. Yeah, right. Burrow, Chase, and Adams is fun too.
I like maybe that. It also feels like you're just lighting money on fire, but
they're going to have to throw a bunch though. I just think
with
Mixon out, you're not going to get that, like, let's feed Mixon. I mean, you've got other running backs, but I don't think you don't feel. Obligated to feed them and get them touches. I think that they may just let Burrow go, and it's week 5. You're right. I think it feels like one of those Joe Burrow 50 pass weeks. I like that.
Right.
Before we get into some more, a note from our sponsors at Thrive Fantasy. Come prop up with Thrive Fantasy this football season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports and esports app for player props. This one's a mouthful right here, sorry. Thrive Fantasy, I have trouble saying that. With Thrive, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impacts on the game. Will they go over or under their projected stat totals? Choose 10 out of the available 20 player props to build your lineup. Each prop is assigned a fantasy value for both the over and the under based on how likely it is to hit. Hit the most props and rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Thrive has a free $1,000 NFL Week 5 for RotoWire subscribers. Use promo code RotoWire when you sign up, and you also receive a $100 instant first deposit match up to $100. Download Thrive Fantasy on the iOS App Store or Google Play Store, or sign up by visiting www.thrivefantasy.com. Get in on the action and prop up today.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Slow start to that, but I read it really well at the second half, so that's good.
Time to go sign it.
So we talked about stacks. I think I just want to mention the Kyler stack. What do you, if you play Kyler, you play Hopkins, or you play Kirk? It's really hard to figure out what to come back with the Niners. Do you come back with? Do you pay for Debo? Do you go cheap for Ayuk on a wing and a prayer at 4,500? Do you come back with George Kittle?
I think whoever you do is not going to be all that popular, so it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think you play IU because you're like, man, everybody's going to play Samuel or everybody's going to play Kittle.
I think Debo's too expensive for the everybody's going to play Debo.
He's
been awesome. He is awesome. But he's 7,100. It's not easy to get there like it was in past weeks where he's really cheap. I think I agree with you there.
Can you just flip it though and have Hopkins be the run back?
You could. Yeah. But you still got to pick someone to play with Lance then.
But if you're playing Lance, then it's easier to pay for Debo.
Yes, or you go
like naked if you Lance. Flip their salaries, then it doesn't seem so bad.
Or you go naked Lance and you come back with Hopkins, which is
you could
interesting too. I think Kittle's the play this week coming back.
Kittle week, huh?
Yeah, 5,600. I'm going to save the 1,500 on Debo. Play another wide receiver in the 5,000 range and kind of play it that way. I think is what I would do if I go Hopkins and Kyler. I want to come back with somebody.
That's fair. I mean, you're obviously. What is the difference? 1,700 from Waller. God, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hard.
We haven't really touched on.
It is hard to play Darren Waller this week. Like if you want a low roster Darren Waller, this is the week because it's really hard. I tried it all different ways. It's hard to get there at 7,300.
But aren't we getting? Isn't Waller basically in the same realm of Kelce in terms of like you're basically getting wide receiver production?
Yeah, although since week one it hasn't been quite that good. But yeah, he's really good. I don't think anybody's going there this week. We talk about Kelce versus a receiver and you're like, you got to get there. Like, are people going to play Darren Waller over DJ Moore or Terry McLaurin or Hopkins or Jefferson this week? I just don't think people will.
No, that's fair.
I think he'll be very low rostered this week with the Henry, the Kyler, the Adams, all the expensive guys. I think he falls way behind people's thoughts in that realm. I think he's really low rostered this week.
And if you're adamant about playing Waller because of that reason, do you have to play Carr?
Probably. We don't have to play Carr, but it probably, if you're going to do it, you might as well just jump in with both feet. But yeah, I think that probably works best that way. Yeah, you could just play Waller if you like cheap receivers. You kind of leave him on his own. How much is Carr? He's probably like 6,000.
I didn't even look. 61.
61. That's a pretty good guess. Yeah, I don't think you have to, actually. I'm going to say that. I think that with Lawrence and Lance down there, I think I'd rather play those guys and play Waller by himself. I'm going to change that. I think there's enough cheap quarterbacks that I really do see a pretty big ceiling on that I don't think you need to play Derek Carr. You play Waller, but Waller, okay. I think it's going to be hard to get to Waller this week.
I think you're right about that. I think the thing that pushes me off of Carr is like Kirk Cousins is 400 more. And we were talking about how much we like his receivers. And at least for tournaments, if Everybody's playing Derrick Henry. We see this every week. Why not just play Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably want a healthy receiver, one of them to come back to do that. Like,
usually helps.
It's just so hard. Like, if Brown, and I think Brown's going to play, but if Brown and Julio don't play, like, it's clear that Tennessee is like, that's fine. We'll just give it to Henry over and over and over. Yeah. And it's hard to get away from that. But yeah, I mean, if you think Jacksonville scores enough to make this kind of push over that total, yeah, Tannehill, AJ Brown, no one's going to have that this week. There's going to be nobody playing them.
So I read a bunch of NFL DFS content, and I saw somebody mention the possibility of playing Tannehill and Henry. I was left completely unconvinced. Like, I just don't think the ceiling is there for both of them, but do you ever consider that?
I know he's more involved in the passing game, but I don't trust that quite enough. Like, it's not like a Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, where I compare them together and like think I might get like some double dipping there. I'm not playing Henry and Tannehill in the same lineup this week. I'll go there, but Pete, weirder stuff has worked. Someone won $500,000 last night with Geno Smith. So what am I going to say? But not the way I'm going this week.
I can't believe Geno Smith is still in the NFL.
There is that. Last quarterback I want to talk about before we move on to some other stuff. Jalen Hurts is in here, and he's just kind of moving along. Top 12 every week so far. And it's weird. He gets there in different ways, but he always gets there. And it's just it's the rushing, it's the passing together. Carolina scares me a little bit on defense. They should be able to get pressure. I think the Eagles are missing three offensive linemen, so I'm a little bit worried a little bit there. But Jalen Hurts has quietly just kind of worked every single week if you use him. I think he was in the Millie Maker winner last week, if I remember. It was a team that was way up there. I saw some screenshots, but Hurts always kind of gets there. But it's hard to, even if you got to watch it, it's a little tough to watch it get there. He always kind of gets those points.
I don't think anybody's playing him this week. So
nobody. I don't think so either. He's the fourth highest priced guy. I just think that he's sandwiched between Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott. Like, I have a hard time thinking people click that over the other two.
I mean, and he's close enough to Tom Brady. We haven't even said Tom Brady here, and they have the third highest total. I mean, we obviously mentioned Fournette, but maybe this is Brady's going to be not that popular this week, not only because nobody's going to be that popular, but I don't know. If you want $1 million of Brady this week, nobody's going to be surprised.
And two straight kind of down Tom Brady weeks. I guess one touchdown in each week. I do have one of his receivers down here to highlight it, to mention a little bit later. But I think that works too. I mean, we didn't even mention Justin Herbert, who's 6,800 going against a Cleveland defense, is playing well. But I mean, Justin Herbert can ball out. But in terms of the like expensive guys, we talked about a few expensive guys. We talked about DeAndre Hopkins, maybe guys that won't be as popular, but just two names I want to mention here before we jump into the kind of mid-range guys we like. Alvin Kamara and Dalvin Cook. We've gone 49 minutes into a podcast and not mentioned two of the three guys that were drafted in the top four of every fantasy football draft a month ago. Kamara had zero targets last week, which is big news, but has 20 or more carries in the three of the last four. The Saints' offense is kind of a mess. The problem here is Taysom Hill has three rushing touchdowns. Like, he's just getting those Kamara touches when you want rushing touchdowns. And Dalvin Cook has admitted that he is playing through an injury. He's going to play through it. At 8,400, the matchup is amazing as Detroit. People run crazy on Detroit. It's going to be hard for me to flip on that game and not worry about him kind of limping off after every single carry.
I think that's absolutely right. I think to touch on Kamara first, I don't think you can justify it playing him over anybody. Like, I think the only justification for Kamara is that like nobody's playing him and at any moment he can do whatever, which like, yeah, is unfortunately like a sound GPP strategy, but like, yeah, I just don't see, I think you're going to go broke before that one pays off.
Yeah. And he's 8,600. It's not like they've lowered his price. You know, he's lowered a couple $100, but not lowered a bunch. Washington, we talked about the defense struggling, but it's mostly against the pass. They're allowing 3.6 yards per carry, so they're good against the run. Saquon Barkley, 7,300, looked kind of like Saquon last week. You look a little closer. He only had 13 carries. But he hit that big reception for the touchdown. Dallas is allowing 4.7 yards per carry. I think Saquon's 7,300 is kind of playable, but it'd be hard for me to take him over Zeke myself.
Yeah, I think if you played like a Dak, Lamb, Elliott lineup, like, I get it.
Yeah, I do. Not I do Elliott, too.
Excuse me, Barkley. Like a Barkley. Dak, yeah. Lamb, Barkley.
come back with Barkley. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that could work too. So let's talk some mid-range running backs and receivers here. But first, a note from our sponsors at Yahoo DFS. The new NFL season is underway, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There'll be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the beginning of football season and Yahoo Daily Fantasy Football becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim a free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of the free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. Issued the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS contest live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and entry to the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started. So we've talked about a lot of expensive guys. We've talked about a couple cheap guys in the mid-range. A few running backs here, kind of a, you know, above the Damian Williams, Samaje Perine range. We have Najee Harris at 6,900. We have Nick Chubb at 6,700. We have DeAndre Swift at 6,100. Damian Harris at 5,500, kind of the four that jumped out to me as like maybe playable. Do you have a favorite in the mix? What are you doing with kind of the mid-range? Because I loved it last week, and I do not love it this week.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to push more people to Derrick Henry. Like,
I'm afraid so. Yeah.
I think it's, yeah, that whole mid-range. And if we have guys like you said, you brought Damian Williams up before. We've got Fournette. I'm just not sure the median outcome of those guys is drastically different from the mid-range. And so there are expensive guys we want to play. And so I think this mid-range is going to be mostly ignored.
Yeah. And if you do play one, Ezekiel Elliott, we mentioned a bunch of times, a 7,000 kind of jumps out too. But I will submit my other relative, Nick Chubb, in here, 6,700, price down. I know it's hard because DraftKings, the targets and the catches are so important. He doesn't get any of those. But he was still 21 for 100 last week against Minnesota. The Chargers, it's interesting. The Chargers have played some teams where they invited them to run the ball. Like, the Brandon Staley, their coach, is like pretty much playing the deep zone, kind of like people playing against Kansas City. Like, go ahead and run it if you want. Use the clock. Don't hit big plays on us. They're allowing 5.0 yards per run to running backs. So a really big number so far. Chubb has 80 yards rushing, 80 plus yards rushing in every week. Nothing in the pass game. I do get it. 6,700, I think, is a price where Chubb is playable this week. I know it's hard to get super excited because the catches aren't there, but I don't know, 120 yards, a couple touchdowns for Nick Chubb is very much in the range of possibilities. I think 6,700, I will have a couple pieces here, which is not surprising to anybody.
I just find it hard to justify playing him when they're underdogs.
Yeah, that's true. The game script does not work out for a perfect Nick Chubb game. Although if, I have to imagine that Brandon Staley is going to be like, okay, we're going to switch up the defense a little bit because they can't just let them hand the ball to Chubb at 5 yards a pop over and over because he'll hit a couple big ones.
Right.
I think that, and you're not as worried about Baker Mayfield as you are with the other teams they play. They played Mahomes, they played Dak Prescott. They played Derek Carr last week, which, you know, doesn't jump in with those guys, but their defense has clearly been to let teams run the ball and play that way. Chubb's interesting to me, but yeah, I like him more when they're favorites. I agree with that.
Right. Like I think if you didn't love him as much as you do, you wouldn't like him this week.
It's a fair biased statement there for sure. DeAndre Swift, they are big underdogs to Minnesota. Kind of a nice game script for him because he does catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. Jared Goff loves to dump the ball off. He has 11, 5, 7, and 6 targets in 4 games so far. The running's not there. It's like 3.4 yards per carry. Hard to see him doing much there. It's hard to like rely just on that pass game.
Yeah, it's another one of those, like, I'm not going to play it, but like if you played him, I get it. But I don't think you're winning that much money with it.
If a lot of people go to Damian Williams at 5,600, do you have any interest in getting away from that and moving $100 cheaper to Damian Harris, who had four runs for minus 4 yards last week against the Bucs? That is the Bucs, though. They play Houston this week. They are big favorites. He's still playing a lot of snaps. Good matchup. Great game script. Houston has allowed big rushing games for as long as we've been doing this podcast. 4.9 yards per carry already this year, so they're living up to that that billing. Can you do it at all on Harris at 5,500?
I think I play Fournette instead, but like Harris, my blind stacks here, it makes a ton of sense. They've got, let's see, the 10th highest total, team total. They're 8.5 point favorites. Like, yeah, he makes sense. So I'll put it that way.
Matchup and game script kind of jump out to him. It's just, I never know what they do with their running backs either.
Right.
It's hard to figure out, but I think he's playable this week. I'd go Williams and Fournette instead. And
right. Yeah, absolutely.
Playing in that range. Yeah. What about mid-range receivers? We talked about Jamar Chase at 5,800. Deontay Johnson is in here. We talked about how the Pittsburgh offense is struggling, but they pepper him with targets. He was back last week, had 13 targets, 9 for 92, kind of the same we see at not many big plays, but he had double-digit targets in all three games. I really like Keenan Allen down here, 6,500. He's now 700 cheaper than Mike Williams. I know he's been quiet the last 2 weeks, but still 23 targets in those games. And I know they're short targets, but over 100 yards the first 2 weeks. I think we were forgetting how good he was the first 2 weeks. 700 is less than Mike Williams. I'm at Keenan Allen for that price difference kind of all day this week.
Yeah, it's like almost weird to see Williams more expensive. Like,
and he's earned it. He's been really good, although he's really quiet last week. But that was on, I think they played Monday night, so maybe it was not factored in his price. I think he's 1 for 11, but did miss Herbert missed him on a long touchdown that would have been a huge play. But I really like Keenan Allen this week at 6,500. In the mid-range receiver, he's going to be the guy that I'm sticking to my lineups.
Over the Cowboys guys?
If I'm stacking Cowboys, no. I like Lamb probably more straight up, but I'd like to get both Lamb and Allen into line. So I think that's if you're going to go, if you build a line with none of those top four expensive receiver guys we talked about, I really like getting Allen and Lamb together as guys who are studs and are underpriced and kind of have been dropped based on recent last 2 week performance. I always love plays like that.
No, that's totally fair. Like, I think you could definitely do that. I wonder if like Williams is like drastically overlooked.
I think big time. I don't think anyone's clicking at 7,200. Even there, you're like, you either go up a little bit or you even go down to Debo or up a little bit to McLaurin. Like, there's just so many names in there. And then you get Allen the $7 cheaper. I don't think anybody's going to play Mike Williams this week, which probably maybe a good reason to play him in some GPPs, but I'm probably not getting there this week at the price.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm out. If the only reason that people aren't playing him is because he feels grossly overpriced, then maybe you get somebody who's not that popular that also kills your lineup because you can't pay up for anything else and he doesn't perform enough.
You mentioned Brady earlier is kind of, you know, a little bit under the radar this week. It's interesting that his receivers, you look at Mike Evans is 6,800. Chris Godwin's been a little bit quietly, 6,300. Antonio Brown is way cheaper than him. He's at 5,200. He had 11 targets last week. I think if you want a piece of this offense, you mentioned the implied total on them. I think I just go with Brown at 5,200 and hope that – I think you're kind of guessing every week on their receivers anyway. So give me the guy who's over $1,000 cheaper than the next highest guy.
Yeah, I think that's a slam dunk. Like, the value-wise, he – like you said, he jumps out. And so you just have to hope that he gets enough before they're up 30. And they're just running Fournette 45 times.
Among the cheaper receivers we mentioned, we both like Laviska Shenault at 4,800. I really like Kardarius Toney at 4,000, so I won't go back and talk about them again. But again, that's if Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton sit out. Are there any other receivers you like at kind of the under 5,000 range aside from those? Those are the two that I like the most. Is there anybody down here that you find yourself kind of gravitating towards? There's a couple. There's one at 3,300 I want to talk about, but I want to say there's anybody that you like down here.
Just ones that like kind of get a little attention just because they are somewhat like projected to do all right. Like KJ Osborne, who I've mentioned before, and I still have won no money with him. makes some sense. I like him more if Cook doesn't play and they kind of don't use Madison, or if they just kind of abandon the running game because it's like, do we play an injured Dalvin Cook or not? But he's only 3,800. So that one kind of looks a little okay. You can tell how excited I am to play him.
Yeah, he just he's been a lot more quiet the last couple of weeks. And so it was hard for me to get there. Just the first couple of weeks were fun, but it's like he's still very deep third in line.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you mentioned Curtis Samuel before playing him last week. Like, is he a bad play this week? He's still 3,000.
I actually think he's playable if he plays. He didn't practice yesterday, so there's that. But I mean, he only played 25 snaps, but four targets, and he had four catches. Like, I think at 3,000, if he's out there, I think he's talented enough that he's ready to play. The other guy down here that interests me, it involves A.J. Brown and Julio Jones probably not playing again, but Josh Reynolds in Tennessee. We think this game might be a little maybe a little over on the points if Lawrence plays well. 3,300, he had 9 targets last week. We were talking about Nick Westbrook and Chester Rogers, and it turned out to be Josh Reynolds, who – had some flash plays with the Rams when he was there.
Yeah, he did.
I think he's a talented guy. I think this is his first time actually getting on the field for Tennessee. First time getting targets. But he had 9 targets last week, 659. if Brown and Julio sit, and maybe even if just Julio sits, I don't think Julio's going to play. I think Brown is going to, from what I've read so far. If they both sit, I think I'm playing him for sure. If one sits, he's in my mix for rostering here. 3,300, I think it is a pretty good price for someone who I think is pretty talented and might be getting involved. 9 targets is a lot for a guy this price.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great call, and surely he should be popular if Brown and Jones sit. Yeah. So
I think that'll be the problem. If Brown and Jones sit, I think a lot of people are going to see the 9 targets. Not like I'm breaking news there. My last guy I want to ask you about receiver-wise before we jump into tight ends and defenses really quickly, Darnell Mooney. He's 4,700.
We've talked podcast about favorite.
Yeah, podcast favorite for good reason. He had 5 for 125 on 7 targets last week. He is a completely different player with Justin Fields. Justin Fields can get him the ball down the field. Say what you want about Justin Fields, he can throw the ball far. He threw the ball well deep last week. 5 for 125 on Mooney. I think Mooney is at 4,700 in a range where I don't love a lot of receivers this week. We talked about Laviska Shenault, who I think a lot of people are going to be on, like you mentioned. But I think Mooney at 4,700, it works well this week too.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, we were talking about how you would play Fields probably by himself, but if you don't, then yeah, Mooney seems like a pretty good option.
I think it's a good way to save some money this week. Yeah. Real quick, tight ends. I mentioned I do like George Kittle. If you're going to pay up a little bit, 5,600. I know he's 4 for 40 last week, but 11 targets. I know he's been quiet, but he still has over 75 yards in 2 of his 4 games. It's pretty good for a tight end. Hasn't scored yet. You got to figure that's coming at some point. TJ Hockenson's kind of the same price, been really quiet the last couple weeks also. Maybe a really nice game script, though. They're playing at Minnesota, big underdogs. Maybe he's lower played this week just because he's really struggled the last couple weeks. 16 targets the first 2 weeks, 6 since. So they've kind of gone away from him a little bit. Those guys are interesting at 4,000, 5,000. Who do you like? Because there's a couple guys in the 3,000s that I like. But where are you on tight end this week?
I was going to say, it's like we're missing Kelsey and Mark Andrews. Like, there are some guys that we're used to paying up for. So if you don't play Waller or Kittle, like, just start scrolling. And there are definitely guys you can play. Like, people will absolutely convince themselves that Cameron Brate can play this Gronkowski role, and 3,300 is dirt cheap.
Yeah, had six targets last week, and yeah, Brady's going to look for him in the end zone. He might drop it. He might not be where he's supposed to be. That happened a couple times last week, Brady didn't look very happy about it. But 3,300 in this offense, I think if you want a really cheap piece of it, I think it works really well too.
For sure. And $100 less, Evan Engram. We tried last week.
they actually ran a end around run to him near the goal line that looked just like a terrible play. Like,
yeah, it was a bad idea, but it was encouraging to see thought of it. It was a good idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the two of them, like, they're dirt cheap, and for the possibilities that they present in their games. And obviously the Giants are underdogs, but if we expect Daniel Jones to kind of air it out, then, and they are missing, some of their very, very good wide receivers, then Engram has previously shown that he can be usable.
The guy I really like down here is 3,600 and priced there because he played Monday night and did not get priced up is actually Jared Cook. I just think 3,600 for a guy who's pretty involved. I think he had 7 targets last week. He was 6 for 70 touchdown. We're not going to get that again, but down here, like you said with Brake, give me a guy who has a really good quarterback, looks for him in the red zone. He has 5+ targets in 3 of 4. I think Cook is really underpriced. I think he would be he'd probably be in the Dalton Schultz range, like 4,300, 4,400. If they had played on Sunday, I think they would have bumped him up off the good game on Monday night. But the pricing came out. I love Cook at 3,600. Tyler Conklin, if you want to get really cheap, 3,500, 14 targets last 2 weeks. But I can't do it over Cook and Brate. There's enough.
Yeah.
If there was nobody else down there, I think about Conklin this week. But Brate at 3,300, Cook at 3,600. Cook, for me, 3,600 is probably my favorite play at the tight end spot.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I mean, and it's not like these guys are going to be so popular that you're like, oh, I'll fade them and go even cheaper. Like, I'm just not sure you're getting enough leverage doing it.
I think I'm Kittle if I pay up a little bit, and Cook if I pay down, kind of in a lot of teams this week.
Yep, I like it.
What about finally with defense? Last week, we liked the Cowboys, who did pretty well. They had 5 sacks. I wish we had turned that into maybe a defensive touchdown, but some cheap defenses this week again. Like, where are you on defense? Anybody jump out to you as supremely playable on the slate?
Nothing that. Well, it's funny. Like, my bar is so much lower than yours in terms of who I'm willing to consider.
That's why I go to you first. You always find the good cheap ones. I like it.
But like, the Chargers are only 2,700 against Cleveland. Baker can be a bit of a moron sometimes. So, like, I think.
I thought you were saying a bit inaccurate. Instead, you went with bit of a moron.
Sorry, yeah.
It's beautiful. The Chargers defense is good, by the way.
Yes, and the Chargers team is very good. And so, you know, they're playing at home. I think if you're paying down, that it makes some sense. The Cowboys defense is 2,800. It's,
yep.
You know, Daniel Jones is a bit of a turnover prone quarterback. And so
I wish
I'm trying to be a little nicer now.
I wish you'd go with a bit of a moron again over and
over. Sorry. So yeah, I think those two are probably the cheap ones that I would be looking at. But I don't know, the Raiders at 2,900, you know, against a team that doesn't know how to use their quarterback seems somewhat reasonable. Although if he's going to run the ball a bunch, then the turnover opportunities won't be as plentiful.
I had two that I really liked in the cheaper range. One was the Cowboys you mentioned, five sacks last week, two more interceptions. Trevon Diggs pretty much has an interception every week, so that when you can mark that on the chalkboard as when you start out with that, that works out well.
Right.
You mentioned Daniel Jones can make some mistakes. The other one I liked in here at 3,000 is actually Minnesota against Detroit. They have 13 sacks the first 4 weeks. As you talk about Baker and Danny Jones, that's what I think about Jared Goff. I think he can definitely make some mistakes. They've only forced a couple turnovers, but Detroit's allowed six sacks the last 2 weeks. I think they're going to be a lot of pressure in the backfield. And then I think Minnesota's going to be up in this game too. So like, give me second half of pinning your ears back and rushing Jared Goff into some mistakes. I like them a lot at 3,000. I think it's going to be Minnesota and Dallas for me on most teams.
Yeah, no, I think those are certainly justified. And I don't know, it just seems like paying up. Like, I'm not going to pay $4,900 for the Patriots. Like, that's crazy.
I mean, it's a great matchup, and they should be really good, but, like, there's no way I'm paying $4,900 either. That's what I thought, too. It was like, oh, Patriots. I'm like, oh, $4,900, there's no way. And then same line of defense. I mean, $4,700 for the Buccaneers. Yeah. Like, I mean, great matchup. Who knows what Jacoby Brissett does. That defense is probably pissed off after, you know, barely winning last week. But they still played pretty well against New England. But the one that's interesting, like, if Teddy Bridgewater sits, we get Drew Locke, who loves to force the ball in the spots. Pittsburgh at 3,300, like they've been bad, but it's been more their offense has been bad. They did sack Aaron Rodgers three times last week. They're 3,300. I think if Bridgewater sits, they're probably like my third choice among those cheap ones. But I think they're pretty playable. If Bridgewater is just kind of like safe, it doesn't make mistakes. Whereas Drew Lock is not safe and will make mistakes. So, I just think they're priced down cause they haven't done a lot, but 3,300 for Pittsburgh, I think works for me too.
Yeah. I get it.
Any parting words as you leave our illustrious award-winning podcast?
Nothing other than thank you.
Did we win any awards? I don't know if that's true.
I don't know. we'll have to come up with one and give it to ourselves. And
for then sure.
It's been a ton of fun doing these podcasts with you. Definitely will miss this as part of my job. And you made my job significantly more fun. My fun job even more fun doing these with you.
Yeah, well, obviously, good luck with whatever you do next. I assume you will let us know what that is in short order that. So we look forward to that. And thanks for doing it for me. Also, I think that it's been a lot of fun for me too. You mentioned that I did it with Vlad and then Derek, but it was fun to hear that you were going to do it because I knew you from going to Vegas, and we did RotoWire just like the Vegas get-togethers. We have hung out a few times there, and I think I hung out with you and your wife in the bar one night. We had a lot of fun chatting, yep. And then we went to In-N-Out with Jordan Cooper 1 year, which is you and I didn't get to say anything because Jordan talked the whole time, but. I love Jordan, but he's got a lot to say. A lot of fun. So I do appreciate it. I know that Friday mornings can be tough and a lot going on, but I appreciate you giving me the chance to do this with you. It's been a lot of fun. Also, hopefully we'll hit a big win or some money this week. I think it's got to be good karma, right? Last podcast, we're going to hit something big here, right?
We'll certainly try.
Beautiful. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday morning DFS version. If you could please rate or review the podcast, it's going a long way towards helping people out. Do you have a new Twitter handle? I see that.
Yeah, that right? I was going to have to change it. Unfortunately, I branded myself to RotoWire. So yes, it's
Andrew M. Laird on Twitter. I am still at Scott Jensen. I just noticed that on the screen as you had a different one there. I almost messed that up and I realized that wasn't going to work. Thanks everybody for listening. We really, really appreciate it. We appreciate our sponsors at WinBet for being the exclusive sponsor of the RotoWire podcast this year. We appreciate that. So thanks everybody for listening. Hope you have a good week five. I'll be back at you for week six. I'm not sure yet who it will be, but I'm sure it will still be fun and good. So I hope you come back. Hope you listen then. But thanks for everything. Thanks, Andrew. Really appreciate all these podcasts. So good luck in whatever you do next.
Thank you.